grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are looking at Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. There you are at a neighborhood get-together. A couple of neighbors just moved in and you're kind of, you know, getting to know each other. And eventually the topic gets around to church. Where do you attend? Tell me about your church. Now, there are a lot of ways that you can go with this. You can talk about the programs that the church offers, or you can talk about the friends that you have and what a friendly place it is, or you could talk about what a neat building you have. And all of those are certainly blessings from the Lord. But as we look at Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, the Apostle Paul would have us point to something other than programs and people and property. He would have us look to the Word of the Lord. Here at New Life, we are a Bible-believing, conservative, confessional Lutheran church. Now, I don't know what that means to all of you, but for most of the world, all that really means is that we're just lumped in with the rest of the Christian world. That doesn't mean a whole terribly lot. And so, on the outside, certainly, and perhaps even for some of us on the inside, the idea of what it means to be Bible-believing Lutherans may not be quite so clear. And people end up kind of pulling their definition of Christianity and what we believe from whatever they get in the media or remember whatever's going on out there in the world. You don't have to think back too far to remember the wrangling over the definition of marriage and how a lot of people who had no idea what Christianity was about came away with some very specific opinions on what Christianity believed, all because of what was out there, not because of what we proclaim. And so as we look at this section of Ephesians chapter 2, we have to recognize that as people ask, what does the church stand for? Well, what the church stands for really depends on who the church stands on. And using imagery very familiar to us through the Apostle Paul today, this imagery of construction, let's take a look at true Christianity through Ephesians chapter 2 under the theme, Built on the Foundation. And as we do, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Amen. So as we begin here today, it's important to get a little background about this Ephesians congregation. Those first verses that we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2, the Ephesian congregation was kind of a microcosm of what God had done. In Ephesus and in our world, God has taken people from various backgrounds, various guilt, various conditions and circumstances of life, and brought it all together into one faith, the church with a capital C. And you can see that just in Ephesus alone. That Ephesian congregation was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, and so what that means is that God had people in that church who grew up as of the Jewish faith. They recognized that there was a Messiah that was coming. The problem was that as they were looking for that Messiah, they also were looking for their kind of own way to make it to heaven, just to make sure that they would get there. And so there's this work righteousness that would come in, that they wanted to do things just the right way. And if you didn't do it the right way, well, then you couldn't get to heaven. And they placed that on everybody else. And, well, you know the Pharisees and how Jesus condemned them. And so there were people coming from that background into this church. And then there were people who were the Gentiles, the pagans, the heathens, the people who were coming from that complete and utter darkness with no idea who God was. And they were coming into this, being brought into this new faith as well. And the thing was that Jews and Gentiles, they didn't just come from different religious backgrounds. They came from cultural differences that left them pretty much just hating each other. They didn't want anything to do with each other. The Jews had always been persecuted, always felt that they were being persecuted, and the Gentiles always had something against them because they didn't understand them and they were fearful of them. And now they all had to come into one church and share the same pew. Well, not really, but you know what I'm saying. But by the grace of God, it happened. These people were brought from all walks and circumstances of life and all backgrounds and paths. And they were redeemed, restored, and they were forgiven, and they were brought together to worship in this one congregation in Ephesus. That in itself is a miracle. A beautiful picture of what God has done for all of us. And so after speaking about this oneness that God created in Ephesus, Paul goes on, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Some interesting designations there. The idea of being a foreigner and an alien means that you're not part of a particular people or culture. That's what they were. Sure, maybe socially they felt like they were part of a people and part of a culture, but not by nature. By nature, they were outside the family of God, just as you and I were outside the family of God. But by God's grace, He now says that we are of it. And that's the big change, one that can only happen through the work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel. Paul's preaching, the proclamation of Christ is what brought them together. Their faith in the Son of God as their Savior from sin, through the gospel in the Word and the waters of holy baptism, the Spirit had brought them to faith, just as He has brought you and me into this very same faith. A faith that Paul describes as being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. And that's it right there, that simply. The construction of true Christianity. Regardless of what anybody says out there, regardless of what anybody feels or has somehow construed in their minds, this is the construction of Christianity, built on the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets is a reference to the Word and how Christ is the corner of it, the very center of it. Everything is around Christ and what God has done for you and me through Him. Sadly, in the hearts and minds of our society and in the headlines, and sad reminder that even those who have called themselves Christian have abandoned that foundational scriptural teaching. Yeah, they give reverence to the Bible as the Word of God, but with the next breath they'll say that, well, it's the Bible, but its teachings are, well, historically conditioned by the times. Or that ancient man back then just doesn't understand what modern man knows. Or they'll talk about the Bible being inspiring, but not inspired. That's a big difference. Because when you take a look at God's Word and you say, well, some of it is good and some of it isn't, God's Word isn't a smorgasbord. You're not stepping up at the Golden Corral to pick what you want and what you don't. It's all of God's Word. And if you decide that you can just sort of pick and choose whatever you want from God's Word, well, guess who you're trying to be? You're trying to be God. You're trying to take His place. You're trying to say, well, this is what God meant, or God didn't really mean that, or maybe we can just sort of change this because this is what we want to hear. When you're solidly built, when you're constructed on the apostles and prophets and Christ Jesus as that cornerstone, there is no changing that. There's no altering that. God's Word is what God's Word is. And before we get too pointy and too judgy of others, we do have to be honest with ourselves. that at some of those stick your moments, don't we too sometimes, like Ted, hedge our bets, so to speak? When somebody presses us on what we believe, don't we sometimes like to, well, you know, kind of soften those edges a little bit? Now, the truth is, the self-evident truth is that we all know from our own powers of observation, and we tend to do it, God's word makes even us uncomfortable. But God isn't about making us comfortable. He gives us comfort. But he gives us his word, and it is what it is, built on the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. God has laid down in his law those 10 commandments and tells us not to break them. But we do. All of them. On a regular basis. We don't give him the glory that he deserves. We misuse his name. We don't take his word as seriously as we should. We argue. We fight. We generally try to order the world around our own personal desires. And whereas the world talks about these things in terms of, well, character flaws or maybe just momentary weaknesses, God's word calls it what it is. It's sin. And he says the wages of sin is death. Eternal death in a real hell. But that's why Jesus became the chief cornerstone. For the construction of true and saving Christianity. Brick by brick, he has built up our salvation. Becoming one of us. Keeping all of those commandments perfectly as our substitute so that when we couldn't. 3 days suffered punishment and gave that life in place of yours and mine, the punishment that we deserve. 3 days later, he rose from the dead as a testimony that everything he came to do has not only been completed, but that it's guaranteed for you and me that his life is our life. His faultless righteousness is ours. His sacrificial atonement on the cross, taking away our sins and the sins of the world, all of it built up, brick by brick, from foundation to cornerstone and rising up into this holy temple made up of a bunch of blockheads like you and me, yet a true construction in Christ, joined together and rising to become a holy temple of the Lord, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. A man was answering questions for National Poll when he was asked what his preference for a church was. His answer was red brick. Looking for a red brick church. Now, obviously, the question was not asking what his preference was for the look of the building. And to be fair, maybe he did give more thought to his faith in the church that he attended. But it's interesting that his first thought was of the external building and not the spiritual foundation on which that church stood. Paul calls us to be concerned about that. Don't lose your focus on God's word as the foundation for both your heart and your home. Because if you lose the word, ultimately, there is no foundation. And everything will crumble. Keep that foundation strong. Keep in the word. Keep centered and lined up with that cornerstone of Christ. And the whole building will hold together, not just for this world, but will hold together for eternity. Keep Christ the crucified as that cornerstone, that risen Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Keep this Jesus as your cornerstone, forever built on that foundation of the apostles and prophets. Amen.